Robert Craddock's been good enough to join us, of course. So he's the leading cricket journalist, Crash Craddock, and the squad has been named. The Australian squad has been named for the tour of South Africa. G'day, Crash.
G'day, Kev. Happy New Year to you and the doctor. You've made a storming start, boys. Well done.
Thank you very much, Crash. As Kev mentioned, I watched a fair bit of the South Africa India. There have only been the two tests to date. India, I think, has got more than 200 only once in the four innings. The South African attack, I know the pitches weren't great, but those two fast bowlers, Philander and that young kid playing his second test after Steyn went down with an injury, they looked very, very menacing.
Oh, look, they really do. And for me, the sports event of the year I'm looking forward to most, Doc, is the four tests between Australia and South Africa starting on March 1. And, you know, four tests in basically 5 weeks, really heavy-duty stuff. They're up for it, aren't they? I mean, Dale Steyn is not certain to get back in the team when he comes back after an ankle injury. And, you know, you're right that the new fast bowler, Ngiri, and also, you know, I felt that as a unit, they've really gelled. AB de Villiers back, Rabada, fantastic. And the world's most underrated cricketer, Vernon Philander, the guy who averages 22 per test wicket and bats at number 7 where the wicketkeeper normally bats. Fantastic.
And had the swing working very, very nicely.
Oh, he did. And, you know, isn't it great to see an old-fashioned swing bowler? Like, every park cricketer in the country can take inspiration from Bernard Philander, who bowls at about 129 kilometres an hour. He's got this big chassis, and they all say, get fit, Bernard, get fit. But he's a crafty old thing. I just love watching him bowl. It's so enchanting.
Hey, Crash, just before we talk about that tour, and like you, it's a mouth-watering tour, this one coming up. The Test series against England, which has been so profoundly disappointing. You know, obviously Stokes, who some say the best cricketer in the world, Stokes, him missing out was made it very difficult for England, but they gave up without a whimper. They were very, very poor here. There's a little bit of false sense of security for Australia, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. They gave a little bit of cheek at various stages, but look, at the start of the season, we felt this was a battle between 2 7 out of 10 teams. Well, we're about a 7.5 and very good in patches with guys like Steve Smith, and the quicks are very good, but they were disappointing. Doc, I've never seen an Australian public less excited about an Ashes series win. They were craving a contest, weren't they, more than ever, which was never the way it used to be against England. We could never get enough victories against them. But I found by about Melbourne, they were saying, oh, gosh, I hope the Poms give a yelp here. And that's so un-Australian. And I felt I'm a little bit worried about the future of Test cricket. And I felt Brendan McCullum, you know, the former New Zealand captain, got it right when he said, look, I think in 15 years' time, the world will be full of players who are contracted to franchises, much like English soccer, and they're let out to play for their country. And in Australia, we can't relate to that. But there'll be an IPL auction on the weekend where some little guys from the West Indies will go for about, they'll be paid about more than $1 million to play in the IPL, and they're to play for the West Indies. They'll get about $200,000 a year. So that's where their loyalties would be. So I see cricket changing shape rapidly in the next 10 years.
The point you make about Test cricket, certainly, look, it wasn't helped because I just wondered about the tests, the wickets that were prepared for this series in Australia, particularly the MCG one. Don't think the Sydney one was that much better. And I wondered, given the fact that last summer we got a little bit used to 3 and 4 day test matches, I wonder, has the question been asked, was there any pressure put on curators around Australia to prepare wickets that would ensure test matches going into the fifth day, which the grounds wanted and certainly the broadcasters wanted, but I'm not sure the public did.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I know the broadcasters, Nine, were terribly distressed by the amount of cricket loss through early finishing and also rain last summer. But I so agree with you. The trouble, a lot of Australia's curators are great mates, and they share all their knowledge and they text each other with encouragement. And collectively, they have risen the standards of wickets to the fact that they're all about the same. I don't like it at all. Secretly, Doc, I crave for the day. Remember the old-fashioned wickets? Just there'd be one a season that'd crumble by day two, and there'd be all these, you know, you'd swear Tony Gregg would get out there with his car keys and there'd be a almost like a nuclear explosion. Like he'd be saying, look at these cracks. But it was great for the game because it had colour and flavour. or even a wet wicket on day one, where the ball's seeming alarmingly. They were all played too much the same. And you're right. Test cricket, and this is one of the reasons Australia can't win overseas, by the way, is that we just get used to playing on one sort of wicket. Where do we ever play on a spinning wicket in Australia? What's happened to Sydney? What about a seaming wicket like South Africa, you know?
Haven't they brought out... haven't they brought out Indian-style wickets in some of the practice centres in Australia?
They have. I live 1 kilometre away from the Allan Border Field up here, and they've got a spinning deck here. But the trouble is, Doc, no one ever sees it. The players are so busy. Yeah, sure, they train up in the off-season, but it's not the same as having 4 or 5 vultures around the bat, is it? You know, so that's one of the reasons why Australia really struggles overseas. Their wickets are so homogenised here. And when we find a wicket that sings or the ball swings or spins, they really feel disorientated. But you're dead right. They're far too similar for the good of the game.
Robert Craddock has joined us, leading cricket writer. Crash, what about the 15-man squad? Any surprises, any hard luck stories?
Look, no outrageous hard luck story. If one, there was Joe Burns, who was really building a case for a re-selection, then did a groin injury. The little fast bowler who could, Jai Richardson, I like that story, told as a kid that he was just too small to be a fast bowler. And Kev, I worked out that he is 1 inch taller than you and 1 kilogram heavier than you. So if you can picture yourself running and steaming in, bowling at 150, you've got Jai Richardson.
Malcolm Marshall was pretty small for a fast bowler, wasn't he?
He was.
And look, it can be done, but it's rarely done. You know, like you've got to have something special if you're a small fast bowler. Be outrageously accurate or very quick. And this kid's got a right arm which moves at 100 miles an hour. Like he could bowl quicker than 145 kilometres an hour. He defies so many trends because these days they like fast bowlers with a big chassis and a big shock-absorbing backside, like a Michael Kasperwitz, a Pat Cummins sort of backside, which absorbs all that shock through the body. He breaks all the rules, this kid, so he's very young and very raw. 5 games, but he's basically work experience. And, of course, John Holland, Victorian's own. He won't play a test if Nathan Lyon is fit. They've made that point. He's basically chosen just in case something happens to Lyon. They're not going to play 2 spinners. But it's always nice when a left-arm spinner gets a chance. It's the one form of bowler that Australia have never had a great one of. I think Jack Saunders, who was a Victorian who used to live at Toorak 100 years ago, took 79 wickets. No Australian left-arm spinner has ever done more than Jack.
I tell you what, if that fast bowler are the same size as KB, if he turns up in Cape Town with a comb over, there'll be questions asked. Hey, Crash.
Hey, can you imagine flapping in the breeze? It'd be a lovely moment for the game.
Crash, tell us who is going to open? And what do you think Australia's best opening pair is?
Well, look, there's no doubt they will. Plan A is Cameron Bancroft. There's no question about that. Already, I know from talking to a mate of mine who's a journo in South Africa, and he said already the South African quicks are talking about the fact that Bancroft's front pad just moves across the crease, and he's a really conspicuous target for a poked edge or an LBW. And that's the way they're onto that already, South Africa. So plan B will be either Usman Khawaja, promoted up one, or Sean Marsh, promoted from the middle order. They don't want to do either of those two things. So they're just praying that Bancroft goes well. But, of course, Peter Handstrom landed the reserve batting position. I thought they might have taken another batsman ahead of John Holland because I thought he was far more chance of being used, but they didn't.
Crash, just on Steve Smith, is he the greatest batsman next to Bradman?
Well, I think in Australia, you've sort of got to concede that, Kev. I mean, I had Allan Border in that status for mine because he absorbed the greatest era of fast bowling you've ever seen. Every bowler in that, Marshall, Croft, Garner, Holding, Imran Khan, Richard Hadley, and all those guys had one thing in favour. They all tried to nail Border. And on dodgy wickets with hometown umpires across the world, he averaged 50. But I think Steve Smith's entering a relic now where his numbers say that he is. My worry, Kev, with Steve Smith is, and I'm sure for the first time last night in his one-day innings where his timing was just really off, he struggles to sleep at night. And when he met the Dalai Lama on the tour of India, the first question he said to him, he said, do you have any theories on sleep? He said, I really struggle. And some guys can just go straight off. Steve can't. And I think, you know, he feels this stress. He wanted a break during this one-day series, I believe, but he can't get one because they're losing and they've lost the series. Mm. So as great as he is, and I would have loved to have seen him miss the IPL, but he's captaining the Rajasthan Royals. And I don't blame him. He's on $2 million for doing it, but it's more stress that he doesn't need, you know. So we need Steve Smith to captain Australia for another 6 or 7 years. So whether that means David Warner continues to captain the T20 team. He was named T20 captain today. I'm not sure, but got to handle Steve Smith with a bit of care. I so hope they can relieve the burden on him.
Tell him about Finnegan. Crash, great to speak to you as it always is, and enjoy the rest of the summer of cricket.